This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
How are banks reacting to new Wall Street regulations being drafted this week?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Federal regulators all this week will be debating how to implement those historic Wall Street reforms passed over the summer. But one bank is taking some of its own steps to lessen the risk of another financial meltdown. San Francisco-based Wells Fargo wants banks to keep more loans on their books as opposed to selling those loans. Marketplace's Janet Babin reports.
Since the 1960s, when a bank gave you a loan on your house, the very next thing they did was sell it. They'd take that money and make a loan to someone else. Then came the financial crisis, when so many loans went bad. Now, regulators want to require banks to retain 5% of their credit risk on their own books. Wells Fargo told the government it should require lenders to keep even more loans in-house. Chris Whalen with Institutional Risk Analytics says Wells is doing this for two reasons. First, it's always been more conservative than its peers. And he says banks don't really have much choice right now.
If you originate a loan that you can't sell to the government, essentially, right, Fannie and Freddie, you got to keep it. There is no investor out there that wants to buy a jumbo right now.
Wells Fargo was one of the top recipients of help from the Federal Reserve during the financial crisis. In New York, I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. The S&P is flat at the moment. The NASDAQ up about 0.2%. The Dow higher now by 33 points, just barely, at 11,510. The Labor Department said today consumer prices nudged up only 0.1%, helped by the smallest energy price hike in 5 months. And the National Association of Home Builders, the NAHB, their housing market index stayed the same in December. Global stocks, by the way, were mostly lower today. Time magazine today named Mark Zuckerberg its Person of the Year. The Facebook founder and CEO surpassed some big newsmakers and names to get that nod. And we were a little curious about the decision, so we thought we'd talk to Jim Frederick, the managing editor at Time.com, about it. Hi, Jim.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Why Mark Zuckerberg?
Mark Zuckerberg, we think, was a pretty clear and convincing choice because, in our opinion, he is the person who has most changed the way that people live their lives and has most affected the news throughout the entire year.
Facebook, though, Jim, has been a big deal for a few years. Why not earlier?
Well, Facebook, I think this year they passed 500 million users. You know, we're talking almost 1 in 10 people on the planet. This is the year that Facebook went from being a phenomenon to being, as our writer Lev Grossman described it, a species-level event.
What about the folks that Zuckerberg beat out?
We did identify several runners-up. Number two was the Tea Party movement in general. So, you know, it was.
How do you put all of them on the cover?
it was a long and fraught debate among the Time editors. You know, the Tea Party is also a gigantic movement that dominated many news cycles. We ultimately decided not to go with them because it's a little bit too early in the Tea Party movement that it's not clear whether or not they're here to stay. Number three was Julian Assange, who was the people's choice for online voting. I mean, if WikiLeaks continues to do what it does, I think that it is a very prime candidate for years to come.
In this day and age, Jim, what does it mean to be Person of the Year? And you know, you guys have been doing this every year for many, right?
Yeah, we've been doing this every year since the very first year, which was Charles Lindbergh, who was 25.
But a lot of people confuse it for being like something of a positive position. This is something positive. But you have to remember that Adolf Hitler was Man of the Year back in, 38?
Yeah, it is not an award. It is not an honor. It is quite simply the person who most fundamentally changed the culture or dominated the news or changed the news in that particular year.
Jim Frederick, managing editor at Time.com. Jim, thanks.
Thank you very much for having me.
Hey, check out a slideshow of the past 10 winners. Head to our website, marketplace.org.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at microsoft.com/cloud. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
So the African country of Ghana has joined a very exclusive club today. That nation began pumping oil off its coast, an oil field the country hopes will bring in as much as $1 billion a year. The BBC's David Amanor is with us from a ceremony in Cape Three Points to mark the occasion. Hi, David.
Hello. Hi.
Sounds pretty lively there. How are people celebrating?
Well, actually, what we're hearing here is a colorful makeshift amphitheater. And there's a giant screen here where we've been watching pictures of President Atta Mills aboard the floating production and storage unit, where he's been turning the taps on for Ghana's first oil to flow. So the music you're hearing in the background is Ghana's national dance ensemble, who've been singing and dancing in all the different traditional styles.
Let's change gears a bit, David, and talk about how important this could be for the economy. What are the people of Ghana saying about that?
Well, I think people here out on the streets have sort of tempered their expectations, but they do expect it to be a blessing. They do expect their lives to improve. So perhaps expectations might be a little high, because really, I mean, we're looking at a boost to the economy of between 500 million to 1 billion US dollars. I mean, you're talking about a 1.85 or to a 3.7% increase in the economy. And in the scheme of things, that's not really a lot.
Ghana, David, is known as one of the most stable countries in Africa. Is it concerned about how things could perhaps go sour with this oil exploration?
There are concerns in a way that things could go sour in a slow kind of way, that there are fears that, you know, oil could feed corruption, maybe in the same ways that it has in Nigeria, Angola and Equatorial Guinea, and a widening gap between rich and poor. You know, there are several negatives to watch out for in the oil experience.
The BBC's David Amanor in Ghana. David, thanks.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Take care. And finally, a man walked up to the craps table at the Bellagio Hotel in Las Vegas in the wee hours of yesterday morning and robbed it at gunpoint. The thief had ridden up on a motorcycle, went inside the hotel, even with his helmet on. At 4:10, people were still gathered, throwing dice at this table where the man pulled out a gun. He took a box of casino chips worth $1.5 million. He left the building, got back on the bike, and rode into the sunrise. How and where the thief is going to try and cash those chips, some of them worth as much as $25,000, we don't know. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Think for a second about where Turkey sits on a map, and then figure out what happens if Europe gives them the cold shoulder.
We are a giant pipeline for human resources, for trade, for everything. It's like a bridge for accessing the Middle East.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Turkey turns east. Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.